Te reo ererangi o te mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Assalamu alaikum, kia ora, and welcome to In Transit, the series where we centre the many journeys of immigrant ethnic women navigating life in Aotearoa, New Zealand, with me, your host, Hafsa. In each episode, I sit down with women who share their journeys of settling in a new land, the challenges they have faced, and the resilience that carried them through. From cultural clashes to quiet triumphs, and from moments of doubt to deep appreciation, these are raw, honest, and hopeful conversations. Whether you're new to the country or simply curious, this is your space to listen, learn, and connect.
Kia ora and welcome to another episode of our podcast. And today I'm joined by another guest, Sophia. Thank you so much for joining me, Sophia.
Thank you so much.
So I guess the first question is a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what do you do? Where are you from?
So I am originally from India. I'm from the eastern part of India, from Bihar, originally hailing from there, and settled for now coming up 20 years, family home in Gujarat. I came to New Zealand in 14 February 2017, and I have been in New Zealand since the past 8 years, just over 8 years now. I am working in the social service sector in family and sexual violence trauma support. So that's my area of work.
And you chose 14th February to come to New Zealand.
It was a match.
It was a match made.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about the first day when you landed here. Did you originally just come directly to Christchurch, or was it some other city?
No, I directly came to Christchurch. I had come with my father over here because this was the first time I was stepping out of my house on my own to lead life. Otherwise, it has always been very sheltered, protected space. The only thing I knew about using cards was withdrawing money. Nothing related to kaise paisa jata hai and how things happen, did not know. So that's how protected and sheltered it was. So just learning everything from scratch. And I think one way to kind of describe it, and I was thinking about it, was it's about a new, like a baby learning to walk. And I think that's how it was for me. I think, you know, whenever you go to new, and I have traveled with my family to various parts of the world and stuff. And I think one thing that was very striking for me is how welcoming, kind, smiling, and patient people were as I was kind of navigating, as we were figuring out, learning, and things like that. So I think that is something that gave me a bit of hope that, you know, you will not be rushed. People have time and there'll be some patience around things. So those were some initial days. And those were things that I was kind of experiencing.
In New Zealand? Yeah. Oh, nice. That is nice to hear. So what was the weather like when you came?
It was nice and warm, but it was very freezing for me. I remember I had university accommodation. And I had decided, and my father was living, because obviously he could not stay at the university accommodation. So he was living at someone we figured out was a connection through various sources and stuff. So he was staying at their place. And I was freezing, even though the heater was on, it was freezing. And I was shivering at night. And now it's like 8 years down the line now, February is so hot and warm, and I cannot go. I'm looking forward to the winter and things now. So yeah, it was initial couple of days were actually really, like, it's something that one can never forget, how you're just alert, constantly learning, constantly pretty much absorbing everything that is going on, happening. You're always alert, figuring out, trying to remember, because this is like, oh, this will be of importance. This is something that I need to remember. All those kind of things.
And you said that, people were welcoming. So, in those first few days, and you did say about university, how was that? How did that flow?
University was good, and I think, like, I guess it's about, like, people, they are constantly exposed to international students and stuff, so they did kind of understand what kind of support would be needed. And I kind of do notice that they have a lot more patience with international students and things. So let's be honest, that is one big thing. But yeah, I guess they really had the time and the patience to actually support me and actually guide me in the right direction, which is not something that you see or expect, coming from a different country, being, just like a newcomer or who's still figuring out when people have all their set ways and time frames, which I think that was really promising, and that did set a bar for me from the very beginning around expecting things.
And you said about being patient and considerate for international students, because and just examining that, we know the fact that we come from a country where everything is fast and we're always rushed because of the number of people that we live with. Was that something you noticed here?
Oh,
The number
definitely. And
of
I think
people?
that was the reason for the patience and the time. I cannot expect that in a country like India, where people are just so busy and they just want to get on with things. So, coming from that space where everyone is so busy, so occupied, and if you are not available, if you don't have, you cannot keep up, you move on and people move on to the next person. So again, those kind of things. And I guess it just shows the value of human. Like, it just adds value. It's, you're not just another number, but there's value that you add as a person, as a human in that space. So I think those were some striking things for me.
So I guess the next question for me was, what was happening in your life back in home, back in India?
So
What?
just before coming to New Zealand, I had completed my study in psychology. I was working, volunteering over there as well, and living with my family. Very good, happy life over there. Came to New Zealand in hopes to wanting to pursue a career in psychology, and New Zealand was the place, and actually wanting to even explore options of moving forward and settling in a different country. I'm come from a family where everyone is settled in different parts of the world. My family, we ourselves have traveled around the country, lived in different parts of the world again. So that has always been something that we wanted to kind of explore as an opportunity. Knowing the space of well-being, psychology, mental health is how it is in our country. I wanted to explore how things are in other parts of the world, and actually if there are skills and things that I can actually shape myself in and bring back. So there's always a willingness to contribute back in the community. So those were some key factors, and New Zealand offered the course, the qualification, time frame, fees wise, it just fit really perfectly with regard to what I wanted to do. And it was it I wanted to be in a space where I'm navigating things on my own, learning to be independent. New Zealand was an absolutely new place. No one knew anything, did not have any family, anyone over here. So that was something. It was a very brave step on my part, now that I think about it. But yeah, that was always the goal, and that's how New Zealand fit in that scope.
So now you mentioned about so there are two parts to this conversation which I want to kind of look into. One is about the family, but the social connections. So when you came here, you didn't have any social connections. How did that feel, and how did you navigate about building your social network?
It has been absolutely a journey. And still, even on and off, being 8 years now in the country, there are ups and downs to it. Definitely do feel isolated around a lot of things. And it has been right in the very beginning, but also at the same time, willingness to putting myself out there. What I have noticed is every single time that I've tried to put myself out there, I have kind of gained some traction, found some connections. But life in New Zealand, even though for people it is comparatively much more relaxed, but it is still busy. You are still caught up in the mundanes of life, as I say it. And that can actually, get you disconnected with people. So, nurturing those relationships, nurturing those connections, I think that's a very key important part in all these things. You can go and meet someone in a social setting, but then also kind of building on those connections. That is, I think, the most important. And that's, I think, for most of us, we struggle with. Because you are so caught up with functioning from Monday to Friday, and for some people, even weekends, just in order to have and maintain a lifestyle, a way of life, make ends meet, and navigate being in a country. I mean, for a lot of people, I remember when I was working through visas after visas, making sure that the pay grade matches, making sure that I'm collecting money, and for some people need to send back money, all those kind of things. So those actually things actually take a priority for most of us, and connections and social commitments and things actually take a bit of a setback. But when you sit and look at it, those are the things actually that will give you energy and build at the sense of actually a community and belongingness in the country.
I think you mentioned about and I just want to take a little bit of time to talk about the mundane things of life that you spoke about. I think one of the things that we underestimate when we migrate is that in our countries like India, or the Southeast Asian countries, we have the opportunity to get house help for most of the jobs, right? I think a lot of us underestimate that and come here and realize.
Absolutely.
And realize how much brain draining that is.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't like, now when I hear things like for a woman, a maid or a cleaner is more important than any other family member, I'm like, now I totally get it. I would give up and break connections with anyone, but not my cleaner. My cleaner needs to be really happy. Those are definitely some important things. And I guess it's the small things that you learn the value and importance of, to be honest, the things in our country, because again, everything is in a rush. You have things easily available to some extent. The value of things actually reduce. But when you come to a country, every small movement, every small thing, because you understand the importance, the preciousness of those things, it actually adds more value and importance for you. I mean, I know a lot of us would actually love to have a cleaner. Like, come on, we are ready to pay if it fits our budgets and stuff. You would happily, and that cleaner would be a very happy cleaner over here. We dare not say anything to that person. But because we understand the value of those kind of things and what relief it actually brings.
I think that's a very valid point, isn't it? Because then I there are two sides to this coin, isn't it? That you learn the value of the small things because then you also figure out how to do the stuff, which gives you a little bit of encouragement that you can actually do this, because I know my husband now knows how to fix up curtain rods and blinds, which I don't think anyone of them would have
I
learned.
think it definitely you learn along the way. And
Yes.
that is it, because you do understand the effort and energy it takes for that person. That's why that value gets added to it.
And I think that's where you embrace that journey. But for some of us, that can be a hard journey. Yeah. So have you experienced or heard of women or, met people who have really struggled with that part of settling in here just because of the challenges posed by that shift from where they're coming from into this new place and that actually impacting them significantly?
Yes, and I think it's on a daily basis, regularly that I meet, and especially for people who are isolated. I think meeting women specifically who have just come over here because they got married or they have children and things. I think that's one of the biggest thing where they don't have any connections or their connection is only with regard to their partners, networks and things. I think that is very isolating because it at one point, it does bring in questions around identity and their own social network and independence. But also, people who have their family and have migrated with everything, packed up their life back in their own countries and actually migrated over here and restarted everything. I think it's a very big challenge for them as well because they are not just responsible for themselves, but the rest of their family, navigating old ways, set ways of life, and fitting that into the current lifestyle, way of looking at things, responding to things, in New Zealand can be very challenging.
And I don't know if you've heard of this or maybe I heard a few people talk about it as well, is around the idea that the challenges that you face here, most of us don't want to share it back with let's say we have social connections back at home. We don't want to share them just because of the I guess the embarrassment that comes with it. Because you're now having to do your own laundry or just having to do your own t chores. Does that have you heard of those kind of issues around not being able to share back with home honestly what actually is happening here?
Absolutely. And I think it's not just things in, I mean, it's not just things in the home. It's about those extra chores that you do and jobs that you pick up. How many of us would be comfortable saying that, well, we have been doing part-time jobs in a petrol pump or at Pack and Save as a gro in a grocery pay checkout space or actually as a cleaner? So those are some things like, and it depends on cult how culturally it is viewed. And even if people are off, I think the willingness to actually take up those jobs as well, because what am I going to say? And that's not what my worth is, or I'm more than that. This is not what I'm meant to do. I think all those barriers stick. And along with embarrassment, it is around the expectations as well. We are over here, and we have come with some set of expectations from our families back home. And it is about keeping up those expectations and, just standing true to those expectations and also kind of not letting them down, but also not breaking their bubble. Because who wants their family to feel like sad and unhappy because we are unhappy over here
Yeah, but does
and
that
distance them?
just like for some of us who don't have any partners or don't have any husbands along with us, do you think that, and this is again just looking for your viewpoint in here around and your experience with your work, does that create loneliness because then we don't have anyone to share with?
Absolutely. It's absolutely like your social network, you've not been able to build any connection on social networks over here. Your connections and social networks back in your own country is also limited. And like, you're not able to be your share exactly what is going on for you. So that is mentally, physically, emotionally, it's very isolating. And that's when we see like lots of mental health issues, things that actually start cropping up for people who may have not possibly experienced anything growing up or any challenge. And that is also like even the willingness to accept it because we have growing up, we have all been molded in such a manner where we are actually, there's a lot of taboo, stigma attached to it. So just having that growing up, having that thinking, then actually coming face to face with experiencing those challenges. I think before even sharing it with anyone, I think acknowledging it for yourself.
Just having even the language, I guess, because that's something that we don't focus on as we grew up. There's one thing that you mentioned about, your worth, looking at one of the challenge being in terms of employability, and I think it has come up quite a few times, and I don't know what your experience is in terms of employability here, but we have worked in countries where we come from, and we come here, we struggle to find similar employment, which puts that question of worth and expectations. How has that experience been for you?
It has definitely been like I shattering for me in the beginning of the year, like beginning of my journey over here. I remember applying for so many jobs, like on a 20 to 30 jobs on a daily basis, and like reaching a point where it was the same jobs reappearing or getting confused with have I applied for this or have I not applied for these jobs. And then that would be even like honestly, I've applied for jobs as cleaners, supermarket checkout person and things like that. And it actually questions your entire existence and your identity from a perspective that you feel your sense of self-worth is you'd start doubting it. Being a person who has probably received a bachelor's, a master's in a field like psychology, engineering, teaching, probably for some people like a PhD or things like that. And then you can't even come into a country, you can't even get a job as a supermarket checkout person or a cleaner. That actually makes you question who you are and what your worth is. And do you really deserve whatever you are thinking you deserve, all those kind of things. And I remember, like I worked as a part time when I was over here. I was working as a relieving teacher, for an early childhood center. And I remember, like looking after the children and stuff. I mean, is this like with a background in psychology with so much of experience? And I'm like, am I just going to be running around behind children? Or cleaning toilets and cooking food and things like that. Because when you actually venture, you see a future for yourself. We all take a decision to come to a country because with a vision and hope for ourselves, where we want to see ourselves. And when you see that in the initial times, when you see that not even it's not even reaching one point, it's still staying there, like not no going nowhere, and you're constantly getting pushed back, failures after failures. It really shakes up your confidence, and it's really challenging to actually keep being again keeping yourself onto it.
So how did you navigate this from your experience?
It was very, I definitely like my family has been a very big support for me in that space. And even the job that I have right now, I remember it very clearly. I had gone for this interview with my tickets booked to go back home. And I remember I had caught my father had, I did not get a call back from this place. And my father encouraged me, no, ring them back, ring them back. I'm like, no, there's no point. It's just going to be another rejection. I'm over it. I have probably got over, like, if I start looking at my emails, I think just over 300 rejections sitting there. And I know approximately because I was clearing up my emails and stuff. So I can remember that approximately around this much, I definitely did clear. And I remember calling them back and they asked me for. They offered me another role and to interview for it. And I remember the mindset that I had, that I was so desperate for a job that I was ready to take a secure. I'm like, in my head, I was like, you know what? I am happy to even take a security person's job at the organization. And the mindset that I had, I remember calling up my sister who was also planning to come to New Zealand, and I had a 1 hour monologue with her, just telling her how bad decision it, how what a bad decision it was to come to New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
So it definitely shakes up your entire sense of who you are, what your worth is, what your confidence is, what have you done, what have you achieved for that period. Yeah.
And I think the employability one comes up so many times in terms of the reality of what we think we know what we're getting ourselves into. And then when we come here, that like the word that you use, which I loved, was shattering. It is actually a shattering. It's like a complete shattering, and then you're picking up those pieces and trying to make a mosaic out of it.
Yeah, and I think it is, I think I would, yes, I agree that we may not, I think it's easy to say we want someone with experience, but willingness to actually give someone that experience, I think that's one, that's it's like a vicious cycle for me. And I find that is it's an easy cop out for employers to say we want someone with experience, where you're not actually, you say someone is qualified, you have brought them in, you see that they have the skill set initially, but your willingness to actually train someone to be in the role, I think that they don't have the time or patience, or actually they don't give the scope of actually even judging the person, because they assume that by their name, I mean, come on, tell us, how many of us have been rejected from a name, like by our names? Or by simply looking at the qualification that's received in India or experience in India.
Yeah, I think that's such a valid point in terms of experience as well. Even if they were, and I've spoken to women who've had heaps of experience. In fact, one of the guests had done her PhD in the UK and struggled to find a job here because she did her PhD, went back to her home country, and then worked there, and then came here, migrated here, and struggled for a long time. And it was like you said, it impacted the confidence so much for her. And I think there's a follow-on effect when we have a family with us, especially if we have, children. And started to talk about, I think there was another guest with whom we started to talk about how mental health and bad mental health starts to then impact family around, and then there's impact on family violence. Because that was one of the things that she was mentioning, was about that we don't understand how these things are going to play out in our families.
And absolutely, I guess those are some frustrations that people have. And we, growing up in the communities, not everyone has been taught how to deal with their emotions. We don't talk about emotions. We are growing up, we are taught that, you know what, pretty much just like, you know, move on, deal with it. It is what life is. So no one has been taught how to deal in a healthy manner with their emotions, feelings, thoughts, who to share them with. How many of us have built those connections or have those adults or those people in our lives who we are absolutely confident to share those feelings, and with no fear of judgment or looking feeling let down or looked down upon. So as communities, and that is not just only in ethnic Indian community, it's across, I think, all ethnic communities that I've interacted with. Those are some common themes there. So when growing up, or in our, we are, when we are not taught how to deal with our emotions and how to move on, and are like, and are taught how to move on and not focus and not work on ourselves, and not even acknowledge it for that matter. The first point, I think, for anything, first point is to acknowledge it, that this is what I'm experiencing. Then all those behaviors, all those spaces will actually show up in a very unhealthy manner. And then we don't know, we feel remorseful, but then it's also our more ego and self-esteem that kicks in, because that's the only thing that is left that we can protect. That's the only thing that is there we have in our control. Arrest everything. Employment is not in my control. The life over here in New Zealand is not in my control. The only thing that I can control right now is myself and my family. So
Yeah.
that's where it actually plays out.
Wow. See, that I think that gives terminology to what is happening or what happens with individuals. It's around that idea of how much control do I have and I don't have, which you put beautifully around, talking about this. And I think we need more experts like you to share this with us so then we can understand these dynamics that really start impacting our families in the long run. So having spoken about these kind of challenges and the fact that you had your tickets booked on the day of the interview, what is life now like in New Zealand? How do you find it here now?
I would say life is comfortable. Life is definitely, I think that is definitely going to be the top one for me. There is independence, comfort, and I can choose. I can choose when I want to put myself out there. I can choose when I want to be in my own shell. I think those things are there, which is good. There's lifestyle, there's a way of doing things. This is like it's more like this is my world. This is what I have built for myself. And I can say that because for some of us, my experience would be actually different because I did my education and I came over here in the prime of my adulthood years to establish myself over here. So that's how I have kind of shaped my world as to how I want my world to look like. And I've had that opportunity to build that for myself. So I look at life in New Zealand from that perspective, the comfort and, way of life, doing things and having things my own way and the independence around it.
And so what is there anything you miss about being here as against to being where you've grown up? And what is it that if you do miss, what is it that you miss?
I miss the connections and connection and the sense of belongingness. Being in the country for the past 8 years, I still don't feel a sense of belongingness, a sense of ownership. And that is, I think, something very crucial for someone to actually call a place home and actually feel like you can be here and you see a future, a life over here. So I think that is one of the most important thing. And I am a very, for me, I am a very family oriented, rooted to my connections and culture person. So that is very crucial for me. And I, on a daily basis, try every single thing that will actually connect me back to my root and my culture and my ways of life that my family lead back home. So those connections, those not being able to be in those important special moments. Yeah. And I guess like if I would say like, life in New Zealand is like, you're traveling, you're seeing and you're experiencing the most beautiful moments and scenes and scenery, but you're doing it all alone. You don't have it to share it with anyone. And it is good, but it is also heartbreaking at the same time.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it until you said that.
Yeah,
There's only so much you can share via pictures, right? On WhatsApp or any other tool that you use to connect. So, and you mentioned about the daily practices that you continue to do to keep yourself connected to your identity. Do you mind sharing what those practices are for you?
I think for me, like, doing daily prayers and things like that, that would be there. Being authentic, I'm a married woman, so staying true to those cultural things or those practices that are there. That and plus, like, celebrations, festivals, those small things. I know we cannot have every festival to be celebrated in a very grand and just in a grand gesture manner or things like that, but doing it small things at home, like we just had recently the Holi festival, Of course, we're not playing with color so much over here or with waters, and because it was freezing cold on that day. But then also, I tried to make the food that is actually made at home on those days. Calling my mom, talking through the recipes, making a little bit of that, sharing it. The weekend, I tried to kind of get a couple of people together to actually make a good authentic Bihari cuisine, like dinner or things like that. So in those small ways, and look, they are not news in a New Zealand perspective, you would see that, oh, that's actually pretty grand and big. But if you put that into a from an Indian perspective, that's really small level of doing things, and that's those it's not that grand, but those I think are those small gestures and ways you can actually kind of stay connected, build and nurture those connections, and still be there with your roots.
I think that one, I think the food bit comes up quite a lot in terms of discussions around and the festivals, because I think that is the time when we are around with family and our, our extended families. Because sometimes over here, yeah, how much ever we want to hang around with friends, right? I think there comes a time when we really want to connect with family, and those connections are really mean so much to us.
And I think there have been days as well, like, when we have celebrations and stuff, I have stayed on the phone for pretty much all day because there are family members, like everyone from the family is getting together, they're celebrating. And just having the phone on while you're getting and doing your own thing has been the only option that I can actually stay connected. And it's, I mean, you do whatever you can at that point. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that is something that we all miss in terms of being there for, and it's so far away. It's
Yes.
not easy to get
It's not easy to get there.
there.
And the ticket prices don't help at all
No,
nowadays.
financially also, I think it's not something that everyone can do for every festival, right? So that's, I think, one of the biggest challenges. So I guess that then gets us to a question of, I know you mentioned about your daily practices of keeping your connection and your identity strong. What have been some of the ways in which you've had to, I guess, integrate or change in some ways, in good ways or bad ways, I don't know, to fit to settle here?
I think clothing plays a big role in there. And yeah, I think clothing would be one of the big factors for me, because I have grown up, I have mostly, and that's because no family pressure thing, but I feel comfortable wearing Indian wear. I think clothing is a big factor for me, and I think now I'm gradually starting to kind of wear it on a daily basis. Even at work, going out over here, initially that had been one of the, like, when in Rome, behave like the Romans. So it has been that. And it's a constant struggle to finding yourself in it. Clothing, I think just being true and honest to yourself on a daily basis, where you come from, where how you are interacting. Your language, and I think a lot of people try to develop. Even I think it's the small things. It's like things like accents, being able to understand or things like that. Like recently, I had an experience, and it has got me a bit of thinking. Like, gone to collect my medication, and I was wearing like something like this with my sindoor and everything, and the lady at the counter did not even ask me my name. She pretty much picked up a slip and actually slid it to me. Please write your name. By my look and how I was there, maybe she thought that my name would have been a very difficult Indian name that she cannot understand or pronounce, or I may have a accent or a way of talking that she would not understand. And it is about those challenges on a daily basis that you navigate, and being true and authentic to yourself through all that.
It's
in
really.
navigating and actually believing yourself and actually being true to yourself with those things.
But it takes so much courage, doesn't it, Sophia, to be able to be who you are. Like just let's take just take the example of the clothing. I think that might become a big a thing which a lot of Indian women probably think a lot about before deciding what to wear, isn't it? Around like you are very brave, I would say, because you do it, and I've seen that with you and how you gracefully carry that in the spaces that you go into. But some of us, I think, really struggle with that, with the stereotyping that comes with it. Like, for that person to even give you a slip, thinking that she will not even I'm just curious what was going on in that person's mind.
Oh, absolutely. It was like,
Because the other day I was talking to someone and they said that someone asked them a question and they were also from India. So someone asked them a question, do you travel to school on elephants? And then someone from the Middle East always gets this question around, are there camels running around in your cities? So those stereotypes, even though we are the most advanced countries, if we were to go back and look, we've changed so much. But why is this narrative even still there is something that I am, it's very interesting how people look at us.
I think it's about people living in their own bubble and their willingness to actually expose themselves. I think as migrant people, as ethnic communities in different countries, we are very brave. I think it people from those countries don't have the like it needs to be something like I think if in employment, in way of life and things, if people are looking at experience and ability to survive and manage and thrive, I would be actually looking at people who are from migrant or people who have migrated to a different country because that is a very big challenge. And if that person can navigate that, anything else would actually be possible.
I think that's such an important point to kind of highlight to a lot of employers to say that actually the person who's migrated has been courageous enough to actually do this and has been a risk taker because they walked into a country with nothing was, well, they thought they knew a lot of things, but obviously they didn't. When they turned up, they found out none of that works. Which is very interesting because that's about shifting a mindset, isn't it? Right, so I guess we kind of on the last few minutes because we do have to stick to time. I think my question is, I know from that moment to saying and telling your sister for 1 hour about that bad decision of coming to New Zealand to now being here for 8 years, about 8 years. Do you think that you will call this home at some point in time?
That's something that I am constantly kind of thinking about. I mean, there's one part of me feels that if a place has not grown on me or has I don't feel at home in 8 years, will that ever be home for me? But it is also about like, how I put myself how out there, how I build my community and work towards building that community. A place I call it home, back home, I call it home because I have my people and I have my community and my support system over there. So when I'm coming to a different country, I need to build all that from scratch for myself. So that is, I think there are two sides to that question. It definitely is a struggle and it is definitely a longer journey. You don't call like it has to be absolutely a connection for you to actually feel like that from right from the very get-go that you belong and this is home. But for a lot of us, I think for 90% of the migrant people, calling a place a home is actually those connections and those journeys and that journey that you take along like, you know, just going ahead in that space is about building those connections, having things that actually connect you to the land and the people and that country. I think that is very important, that sense of ownership. Probably if I would have been, you know, maybe if my parents would have been over here and I would be growing up over here, that would be different. Or if I had a partner who was from New Zealand and had a life over here, that would be different because that's something connecting me and holding me over here. Yeah, and I think it's still a journey for me because everything that is connecting me, like there's nothing that is tying me over here other than the connections that I have tried to build on my own. And that tomorrow, if I choose to not nurture those connections, they will drop off. They will, like, I can again go back into that space. So it's the time and energy it takes in that space as well. Yeah.
And I take your point about the thing that you mentioned about, you know, if you were if some if for the children of the first generation that is born here, they have a very different viewpoint because they for them all the connections are probably here because their parents have been here and their friends circle or they have that here. And their whole idea of life began here, so very hard for them. So my children, it is hard for them, while they understand that their roots are back in India, which is what I try to emphasize, is that your identity is Indian first, and they connect with that. But then they go, but we don't know anyone there. You know, even if they go there and have those connections, they still, they'll spend a good time. They'll come back. And this is home for them. That is
Yeah,
not
they are
home.
New Zealand Indians. They are not
Yeah,
just Indians.
they just go because I remember this trip when we went and they came back and they wanted to come back home and just go into their rooms and lie on their bed. And that was coming home feeling for them was, we're back home.
Yeah, and I think we will have the same feeling when we go back home.
Yes, and we have that feeling when we go, right? Because and it's very interesting to see that. But I think we will be there. We will be that generation who's going to be between our parents and our children, trying to struggle and go, where do we actually sit? Because that
And
happens
there's
when we
no harm
learned.
in that. I think that's something that we need to reach for ourselves who are first generation, you know, migrants in New Zealand. Also, sometimes understanding that both places can actually be called home. You don't need to have one home. Sometimes that is, for some people, that could be there, that you actually feel comfortable being in your country of birth and things, but that is home, but this is also home. And that's something that one comes about when they actually find themselves
I think it all
belonging
comes
in
back
both
to
spaces.
it comes back to what you said, you know, in terms of connections and belongings that you mentioned about of having that in there. So I guess my last question before we finish off our lovely chat is about if you were to give some advice to someone who is coming to New Zealand, what would you tell them to come with?
I would tell them to be open to experiences and actually being willingness to putting themselves out there all the time. I think that those two are the most important things according to me. And being strong and resilient, building your resilience, because I think that is one thing that is tested on a daily basis. To kind of push through, and that is the space one needs to actually push through and work towards, and believing in yourself. You have come over here believing in the vision, believing in who you were when you were over there, and if you can actually make it and do things in your place, it's just the place that has changed. The person has not changed. Yeah, those things.
Nice. I think that was a beautiful conversation, and I think there were some very meaningful things that we found out about some of the challenges, plus I guess some of the things that people can look for and how to navigate that. So thank you very much, Sophia, for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us on In Transit. If today's story moved you, taught you something new, or simply made you feel seen, we'd love for you to share this episode with someone else. Also, don't forget to tune in to Plains Media for the next episode. Until next time, remember, your story matters.